Welcome to Bedford County Speaks, the region's only locally produced public affairs program. Every Saturday at this time, Bedford County Speaks introduces community leaders, interesting topics, and people making a difference in Bedford County. Bedford County Speaks is presented exclusively by News Talk 1310 WBFD. Now, here's your host, Lloyd Broach.
Thank you, Matt DeFazio, and good morning to you. Welcome to Bedford County Speaks, the weekly public affairs program over News Talk 1310 WBFD. Today's program is presented by Thomas Chevrolet Subaru, saving you time, money, and worry for over 100 years. And by Homewood at Springhouse Estates, where every day is Independence Day. I'll return shortly with today's guest, Mark Bowman from the Bedford County Tech Center, when Bedford County Speaks continues.
This is Betty Slayton, president of BCDA, and you're listening to Bedford County Speaks on News Talk 1310 WBFD.
At Homewood at Springhouse Estates, Independence Day is every day. Executive Director Mary Gratton says new cottages are coming.
We have 11 new cottages that are being built in the lower part of Homewood. It's for independent living, so you just come in, move in, and you get all the services that you would on the main campus area.
Visit Homewood at Springhouse Estates today and see what's new, or call them anytime at 623-0349 for Homewood at Springhouse Estates, where every day is Independence Day.
This is District Attorney Bill Higgins. Let's head back to Bedford County Speaks right here on News Talk 1310 WBFD.
We have returned to the Bedford County Tech Center after some time. I think when I first started the program in 2015, we came over here to talk to the then director, Dave Pascal. But there has been a nice change here, and I want to introduce you to the new sheriff on the block here. His name is Mark Bowman. And unlike most educators that I have spoken to over the years, this fellow has a very interesting background, which I'm going to get into in a second with him. But the Tech Center, as you know, is situated almost across the road from the hospital here at the Bedford County UPMC Hospital. And it has been here for many years, performing some fantastic work in teaching young people how to do things that are physically and mentally useful to both of us. I have a pet peeve about this. I've talked to a lot of educators over the years, and there's been a big move afoot lately to send every single young person to college and have them go on to become I don't know what. But I know a lot of college professors or a lot of college people that are working as secretaries in banks because they can't find a job. And if you come to here, you will learn something you can actually use, and people will flock around you because of your skills. And if you don't believe, my plumber is showing up this morning at my house, and I would be dead without this guy. And I don't know if he went to school here, but I'll tell you, these kinds of skills are really, really useful. Mark Bowman is a fascinating fellow. He is a former coal miner, lieutenant colonel in the Army, active Army, and the National Guard Reserves. He has a master's in education for Frank Sanchez in Loretto, and now is the administrative director. This is a big place. You got a lot of people here, big responsibility. What interested you in taking this on after you had this other job up at Tussey as an administrator? Was that true, right?
Yeah, I finished at Tussey as the superintendent. And I guess I've had a variety of jobs in my career and different career aspirations, and I just have always had a passion or a big interest in helping kids decide what they want to do in life, and also letting them know that if you change your mind later, it's okay. Yeah. It took me 23 years from the time I graduated high school until I got a job in education, and so if you don't first succeed, that's okay. You can try again if you change your mind, but helping kids with their career choices.
Well, it's been my experience as an employer. I was in business for a long time, operating radio stations. So we had people that were technical people, like our chief engineers, and we had talent, which is a whole other discussion. We had salespeople. And so many times I had young people come into my office, and I'd say, "What do you really want to do?" And they couldn't answer the question. And it always struck me, here they were at a job interview, and I would think that that would be the number one thing they'd want to tell me. And yet we have so many young people today, they're kind of rudderless. And a place like this, in my opinion, gives them a big rudder, because if they're interested in mechanics and like working on cars, you can actually teach them how to do it, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And so have you found that to be the case with young people that you've dealt with over the years? They really don't know, because maybe...
Some do, some don't. Yeah. I know in my own case, that many years, I didn't know what it was I wanted to do. And so I tried different things. But one of the things we offer here is they can develop a skill, an important skill that can get them a good job. And even if it isn't the end of their choices, it can help them until they do to settle into what they want to do with the remainder of their lives.
Now, shortly after school, you become a coal miner.
Yes.
I've never talked to a coal miner. So I wanted to really ask you about this. Now, I've seen movies like the Molly Maguires, you know, and things like that, but I've never seen a real coal mine. I don't think most people haven't. They think of coal mines as something down in West Virginia and so forth. But there's a picture in Mark's office right behind where I'm speaking to him right now of him in a car. Now, this, you gave this car a name. I didn't know what that name was.
It was a shuttle car, or some called it a buggy.
And what did it do?
It hauled the coal from where it was being cut from the continuous miner back and dumped it onto a conveyor belt.
Now, when you were doing it, was it a lot of automation, or did you have to get in there with a pick and really do it yourself?
A lot of the mines today are automated, machinery, big machinery. And when things are running properly, the belt's running and everything's fine, the work is for a lot of automation. However, when things break, you know, the belt goes down, when, you know, equipment breaks down, then you get back into shoveling, shoveling just like the old days.
So you look like a pretty fit guy. I probably came from those days in the coal mine. Is it true that coal mines have a very, very low overhead and it's hard to stand up?
The mine I worked at on the what they called the right side was an 8-foot-high seam of coal. Hmm. On the left side, that was the side I worked on, it went as low as 3.5 feet.
Oh, my word. So does the overhead get higher as you go, or... is that just the way it is?
That's just the way it was. If you can imagine getting going in by train about 1.5 miles, getting off, getting onto a buggy, and the crew would then run, make a left and go 1.5 miles back to our section. And if we go straight up to the top, we would have 800 feet of cover over us, rock and so forth.
So are most coal mines on the side of mountains, or are they out in the meadows, or it doesn't matter? It's just depending on where they are.
It doesn't matter. The area I grew up in, the Broadtop, now down near Saxton, Pennsylvania, mm-hmm. Tussie Mountain School District area, that was heavily, mining was the big thing, you know, years ago and for many years. Mm-hmm. And that's a big, broad, wide open mountain. And,
So were your parents in this profession as well?
No, not at all. My grandfather on my mother's side was, but my father was, he never mind.
My wife and I went to the Robertsdale Museum to see all of this, and we talked to the gentleman there, and of course there's some real coal miners too. And so it's fascinating. I think in this day and age, people don't think much about it, but it's been in the news a lot, most recently during the recent presidential election, because President Trump wanted to tried to bring some of these mines back. And I personally agree with him that, you know, coal isn't bad as long as they keep it clean. It's all right, you know, but I mean, it's what an astonishingly amount of quantity of fuel that we have in this mm-hmm. country, as long as we are able to get it out. Anyway, well, it's fascinating. Well, thank you very much for letting us know about that. I didn't come to talk about coal mining, but I just think it's fascinating. But I could say to you that, okay, you've had that experience. So when you talk to your students here at the Bedford County Technical Center, you can talk to them about what it's like to have a real job, can't you?
Yes, yeah. I joke about it. I said I tell them I wasn't always a tie guy. I've done some things that involved manual labor, and if that's what you want to do in life, that's fine. But if you want other things, you know, seek those opportunities.
So, what's a win here when you bring a young man or young girl in here and they go through this course at whatever discipline they want to learn? What do you consider a win? When they go into business successfully, or when they go to work at a company and use some of the skills they learned here, or all the above maybe? Is that a win for you?
Well, we have 8 programs of study here for high school students. Mm-hmm. And those programs are approved by the state, and so each one of them comes out with a different component. Some can go straight into the workforce. Some are prepared to go on to a tech school. Some get certifications in certain areas. Some can set for the state test. And so certainly when, for example, cosmetology, when they complete the prescribed number of hours in that program and then they sit for the test and get their cosmetology license, that's a success for us. Yeah. They can go directly into the workforce. Others, for example, our builders or our welders, they get certain certifications and then they get hired by industry. So we like to see, and we actually track where our students go after they leave us.
I've been in the broadcasting business, and one of the glaring needs that we have in our profession today are technicians and engineers. We can't find any. And all of our technicians and engineers are over 50 now, and over 60. And the really good ones that can work on RF transmitters are all over 70. And there are very few programs in places like this one that teach electronics anymore. There's a lot of computer stuff, but not the big RF electronic stuff. So I'm not asking you to answer any question. I'm just saying to you that that's something you ought to think about. There's a dying need for it, and we still have 10,000 radio stations in this country and about 5,000 television stations, and they all have transmitters. So is there any plan in the future maybe to look at the whole electrical, electronic thing in a school like Bedford Tech?
Actually, Lloyd, when the Tech Center was first built, that was one of the first original programs that they offered was electronics here. Why it went, it ended, I'm not sure. I'm assuming maybe there weren't enough students to, you know, keep the classes going. But, you know, at present, that's not one of the things that have been discussed, but I'm not going to rule it out either.
Our guest is Mark Bowman. He is the executive director of this Bedford County Technical Center. What is the big push here? Is where do you see from your experience that the real needs are coming from? You mentioned cosmetology, computers maybe. I saw some robots in your plant where you have the welding and so forth. Is there any one place that's really coming at you fast here?
Our welding program is always full.
Really?
We run three sessions a day here. The students come in 2 hours at a time from all the school districts in the county. But the welding program is always full. Some of the classes aren't as full, but you know, running three sessions a day, we can accommodate a lot of students that way.
When we come back, we're going to discuss with Director Bowman about some of the mythology about a so-called Vote Tech Center, and set you straight on why this can be so valuable for either your daughter or son when Bedford County Speaks continues.
Hello, I'm Mark Thomas. We hope you're enjoying this week's Bedford County Speaks. We're pleased to sponsor this community effort every week. Sometimes people ask us how we do business. Well, it's simple. When a family firm like us has been around for over 100 years, you learn a lot. For example, we know you don't care for haggling, so instead, we discount our vehicles up front to remove all the guessing. We also pay our sales consultants on volume rather than on the price of the car or truck. That way, everyone works to get you the vehicle you want instead of the one we may want to sell you. Thomas Chevrolet Subaru offers transparent financing with protection options to fit your budget. In addition, when you buy a car or truck from us, you get free state inspections for life, free car washes for life, and great warranties, which remove all the worry. And we'll even buy your trade for cash. So stop by our showroom today and check out our beautiful supply of Chevrolet cars, tough Chevy trucks, and those fabulous worry-free Subarus. That's the Thomas Promise. To learn more, visit us on Route 220 or thomaschevrolet.com.
This is Bob Appleby of the Everett Foodliner, and you're listening to Bedford County Speaks over News Talk 1310 WBFD.
Now, let's head back to Lloyd Roach and Bedford County Speaks.
We have returned to the Bedford Tech Center, here in the Bedford County Tech Center to be precise. And of course, I want to remind you, we have a brand new sponsor here at the program, Springhouse Estates, which is about 35 feet from where we are right now, Homewood at Springhouse. And they have a terrific executive director, Mary Grattan. And Mary has been very gracious to us here at the program, so you should give her a call to learn more about this sensational living experience at Homewood. Her number is 623-0349. And just as we like to say about Mary and her place, every day is Independence Day at Homewood at Springhouse Estates. And, of course, also by Thomas Chevrolet Subaru right in downtown Bedford. Mark, told me something I didn't know. You said you have a very strong ag science program here, and I'm aware of your partnership with Greg Krug and Lampire. I see. Maybe I didn't make the connection properly. I thought you were just training kids to go work for him, but isn't. It's broader than that.
Yes.
Yeah. So tell me about the ag science. What do they learn? You got a lot of farmers around here, children of farmers that come into this place.
Well, the ag science instructor is also the biotechnology instructor. And through those programs, the ag science has a lot to do with farms and the different things that are components that are involved with FFA and so forth. But the biotech is more of looking at, you know, biology or the life sciences and, you know, what they do at Lampire as well as other things. It could be, you know, technicians on their way to get certification to work in hospitals and other places in the medical field.
You also mentioned about the pretty much now vanishing mythology of the vo-tech school versus the academic program. I will tell you, Mark, when I was in school, I was a lousy academic student. And if anybody had told me that I could have studied radio in school, I would have been an A-plus student, you know. But they didn't do that then. So here today, you can take a person who has got a strong interest maybe in one of the things you teach here and make them a star at this school, can't you?
Yes.
And complete with their own academics and things that they're interested in.
Yes. The students come here for 2 hours a day. They're back at their home school districts, you know, the remainder of that time. But it's becoming more and more some academic offerings. You know, I mentioned the biotech is
right.
A very academic field. And some advantages is the average person going to college today is coming out with about $45,000 worth of debt. In our cases, if we can equip students to go straight into the workforce or even to a technical school that does not incur so much debt, that's certainly a plus.
One of the things that kind of crossed my mind when I was talking to you before we went on the air, you mentioned you spent 25 years in the military, and I also spent a number of years in the United States Navy. And the services are really eager to talk to people who have technical skills. So coming out of the program here, would it not make you a very good candidate for a technical or special rating in the service out of this school? It seemed to me to put you ahead of the class in that
regard. It would certainly help. Just about any occupation you can find in civilian life, you can find in the military. You know, I mentioned welders.
Right.
Certainly they use welders, both private contractors as well as, you know, people with that MOS skill, MOS being military occupational specialty. So, yes, they would use a lot of the things. You know, in the Navy, you have your CBs.
Sure.
Those are construction people, just
right.
like our building construction people are.
Well, not to mention fire controlmen,
yes.
radio operators, electronics technicians, aviation specialists, things like that. And it would seem to me that if one of these young people were interested in joining the military, their scores, even when they enter the military, have to be higher than most people if they've had the kind of background you offer here. So, because I think the military for a young person right now is a tremendous deal. It can help them even go to college if they want to.
Yes.
And I just see this as a great broad base for them to jump from. Because I, you know, we always joke about the military. I was very interested in radio and electronics when I went in the service. So what did? They made me a diesel mechanic. Now, I want to tell you something. I stayed to be a diesel mechanic about 3.5 months because I crawled to get out of the engine room. I had no interest in that whatsoever. And finally, they saw the error of their ways. But what I meant was that if I had come out of here as a diesel mechanic, I would have been a catch me out in the Navy. I can tell you that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have, you know, like I said, any specialty you can think of. And a lot of them we would, you know, train people to go, if not in that exact specialty, mm-hmm. at least something related. For example, our health assistant program does a lot of things in the health field.
Let's move over to that. The health assistance program. I was at the hospital the other day getting a test, and there was a young woman there who extracted the blood out of my arm to give me my test. And you explained to me that that's the kind of job that can be prepped for in this. It's not the training to do that, but they can be prepped to go into a program where they can learn how to do that. And that's a darn good paying job at these hospitals, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. Our health assistant program, they do come out of here certified to be a nurse's aide. Mm-hmm. But it also programs them to go on to nursing school, albeit our registered nurse program that we have here for adults right on campus, or it could go into dental hygienist, the different medical techs that you see, programs them to go to school and prepares them to go to school to get those certifications.
So the big push on meds and eds today can really be satisfied in a place like this, it would seem.
Yes.
Because the hospitals are just getting bigger all the time. And mm-hmm. UPMC has just announced they're going to build a hospital in Rome, Italy. I mean, this
wow.
is nuts. I mean, so maybe one of your students will have to learn Italian someday. Who knows?
Well, that would be interesting.
It would. Mark Bowman is my guest. He runs the Bedford County Technical Center, and we're here talking about the various things that you can learn here. And I learned from Mark something I was actually instructed to ask him about. Do you have an adult program here?
Yes, we have a couple different components of the adult program. We have evening classes. They're non-credit courses in our partnership with Allegheny College of Maryland. It can include anything from in the culinary field to welding to building construction to even computers. And then we also have, during the day, we have college classes here in our labs. This semester, for example, we have biology, anatomy, and geology are being offered here on campus, 3-credit courses through Allegheny College. And then we also have a registered nurses program here in an adjacent building. And that's where the nurses can come in and get their degrees as registered nurses and spend their entire time here, rather than travel to Allegheny's main campus.
I remember Villanova University had a program going. I don't know if they still do, but they called it the Love of Learning, and they would bring adults in to learn the kinds of things you just described for the love of learning, just because it's something they always wanted to know about, never did. So I can come here and learn more about computers if I want at your course, and this will teach me the basic things about
yes.
operation of course, computers change every minute.
Yeah.
All the computer experts say, well, that's really old. That's a week old. Yeah. But you learn the basics so you can at least operate in that world.
Well, one of the initiatives we're considering right now is in some of our classes, we have in our student, high school student classes, we have vacancies in some of them and have space for other students. And we're considering looking into what's called intergenerational, where we would have high school students and adults in the same classes. Could be in college cosmetology, could be in welding's always full, but culinary, we could put them in the same class.
I recently interviewed some folks over at, just a complete blank on this, Rockland Manufacturing. And that, of course, is a huge weld shop.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little more than a weld shop because it's major manufacturing. And I asked him where he got the welders. He said, got a lot of them here. Why is there such a demand on this? Is it something new, or they've just always been demand on this for the welders?
Well, in the welding, we seem to have several manufacturing or businesses that need welders. That's what they do. They weld. And so with the different firms and companies out in here in Bedford County, there's a place that we can, that's one of the programs of study that we have a lot of workers available for. Also, there's some trends in that industry. You know, a lot of it is going to computer-aided drafting and computer-aided equipment, and that takes, more technical skill to learn how to do it and then be used in those industries.
Well, a recent tour here showed me you have these things all hooked up to computers, and the welders will often kind of do its own thing while the operator stands by and watches it, and the accuracy is just unimaginable. I mean, what a change in just the last few years.
Yeah, just recently, last week, we did a tour of MDL, and they have a lot of computer equipment there doing the cutting and so forth. And that was very interesting and really would be a good niche for some of our welding students to migrate to.
Not to mention the jobs that are available away from Bedford County. Not that we're trying to chase them off, but I mean just the fact that that this is available here. Mark Bowman from the Bedford County Technical Center is our guest today on Bedford County Speaks. I want to remind you our program is brought to you, as it always is, by the Bedford County Chamber of Commerce, who proudly supports and celebrates the business community of the Bedford County region. To learn more, visit them online at bedfordcountychamber.com. We just have a couple of minutes left, Mark, and I wanted to ask you a little bit about the future. As I say, I'm sure you attend professional conferences on this, and is there anything happening out there in the future that's going to cause a change in the way we do things here at this kind of place?
Well, our tech center, compared to most, is very small. And but we're always looking at what the high occupancy jobs that are needed out there. And so we will continue to evaluate, are there other fields that we need to offer here?
Yeah.
Possibly HVAC, you had mentioned electronics. There are other fields out there that are high demand for jobs. And so we would look to that as a tech center to see if we need to make changes with the times.
Yeah, because I wondered sometimes that schools lag behind industry. And in days of old, the industries would often start schools just to provide training for people they want to work there. You know, where I came from in Philadelphia, a good example was the School of Philadelphia Textiles, which is now called the Philadelphia University, but it was really set up by the companies who made clothing, so they would have people knew how to operate the looms and so forth, and so they created their own school. So you have the opportunity to do that for some emerging industries, so I guess you're constantly keeping your eyes open for that. And I will go back and say, think RF.
Okay.
Because I'm telling you, it's not electronics, it's RF. That's where everybody is getting killed. Is it? Everybody wants to know, play with a computer and what they call low voltage, but high RF, high voltage, is something that is very, very hard to find today. So, all right, I'll stop talking about that, I promise. You have been terrific. Thank you very much. We miss anything here?
Not that I can think of. I think we've covered all the...
Okay.
We are always looking for companies to put co-op opportunities out in front of our students where instead of coming here their senior year, they would go out into the workforce and spend part of their day there. We have a pretty good number of students in co-op this year. So that's growing, and we continue to work with various companies and industries as to what they want out of a workforce, and we try to accommodate them in that.
Well, I echo what Mark is saying. If you have a business, get over here and see what they've got, because you'll be astounded at how well. And by the way, I will say this too. Every time I come in here, I find the most polite, well-deported young people I've seen in any school in a long time. And I think it has something to do with the work ethic. It really is a credit to what you do in here. I just wanted to mention that.
Well, thank you
very much. It really does make a difference, at least from my vantage point. Mark Bowman, thank you very much for being our guest. I appreciate you guys. Bedford County Speaks was presented this morning by Thomas Chevrolet Subaru, saving you time, money, and worry for over 100 years. And by Homewood at Springhouse Estates, where every day is Independence Day. I look forward to joining you next time, right here on News Talk 1310 WBFD. Until then, enjoy your weekend. This is Lloyd Roach.
Thanks for listening to Bedford County Speaks. This program is heard every Saturday at this time over News Talk 1310 WBFD. If you would like to hear this program again, visit bedfordcountyspeaks.com and click Listen Here. Bedford County Speaks is a production of the News and Public Affairs Department of News Talk 1310. If you or your organization would like to appear on the show, visit our website, bedfordcountyspeaks.com, for contact information. Thanks for listening, and have a great week.